Hello, this is George.
And this is Scott. Welcome back to the Cool Dads Club podcast. George, we've been gone a long time.
That's right, but now we're back.
We're back. It's been a long break. It was a mid-season pause. We've got new writers. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
That's right. We got this. So, Scott, tell us a little bit about what the Cool Dads Club podcast is.
The Cool Dads Club is a place for cool dads to chat. We're going to talk. We're going to answer listener questions if we ever get one. And just talk about what it's like to be a dad.
That's right. We do get plenty of listener questions like, when is your next episode coming out? But
And your answer is, Mom, as soon as we can.
Exactly. Exactly. So once again, I'm married with two kids, ages 4 and 7, and I live in Central Florida.
And I'm Scott. I have two kids. One's age 9 and one's age 6. And I am no longer in Central Florida. I am in the Chicagoland area. What? Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. And so that brings us right into what we're talking about this week, moving.
And how a cool dad does a big move. So we're gonna have a short break, listen to a message by our sponsor, read by us, the awesome ad read.
That's right.
And then we'll be back. And we're back. Thanks, Scott and George.
I could listen to them all day. What about you, Scott?
Same here. Same here. All right. We teased it right before the break, and it's been a long time since we've recorded an episode. Actually, it's been even longer, because if you remember, the last episode was actually our wives.
That's right. So just want to stop the rumor mill out there. We did not take a hiatus after the girl episode. They did put us to shame, but that was not the reason why we took a hiatus.
The reason they put us to shame, besides being an awesome episode, they did a really good job. We were looking at our stats, which Anchor.fm provides for free. That was our highest listened to episode, George.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not kidding. It had the most plays. Not by a whole lot, you know, just barely squeaked by over some of our episodes, but you know, we don't really know. It could have been because it was our wives doing a great episode. Also, the title was hilarious.
Yep, that's right.
So it could have been that too, but yeah, that's hard. We got a lot to live up to.
Once they started inching up to the highest listened episode, I just stopped looking at the data.
You win. So you did it, guys.
Yep. So some business news. We got some new listeners, Scott.
We've got new listeners. That's also reported to us. We have listeners now in Mexico. We have listeners in Thailand.
Awesome.
We have listeners in Belarus, India, and España in Spain.
Nice. You also mentioned that we have a very high percentage of women listeners, right? Higher than men?
Way higher than men. It's now almost 70% of our listeners are women. So the cool moms are listening. And who knows, maybe it's the moms downloading the episode and then playing it for the dads, like when they're in the car or, you know, when they're
I'll
together.
Take it.
So that still counts. But anyway, anyone that listens, we love you. Please write in. We want to hear your listener questions. We want to hear your feedback.
Also, if you like the podcast, please rate us in iTunes or Google Play. It helps us gain some visibility there.
We love the traction, and we keep teasing it. But yes, please write to us as well. CoolDadsPodcast@gmail.com. That's how you get the direct line to the stars.
That's right. And also, check the show notes for links to websites, products, and videos that we talk about. Scott and I always listen to the episode, write notes, and go try to link those things that we speak of to you.
We don't get any money back. We don't have any kickbacks. It's just when we talk about something, we think people like it, we write it down and put in the show notes so you don't have to Google it while you're driving.
That's right. So, Scott, today, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the big change in my family's life. You've also gone through this. It's moving your family.
That's right. Which is one reason why we've been off for a while. Scott has relocated. He needed some time to pack, you know, move his whole family and get settled in. And this
sell
was
the house, move the family, and we're still, we found a house here, and we are hoping to close by the end of the month. That looks like it should happen, but you
fingers
know,
crossed.
Anything can happen, as we've learned before. So, George, you've moved before with kids. I think you've moved twice, right? When you've had since you've had your son.
We've moved once with the kids.
Okay.
I've moved a lot in my life, but once with the kids, and that's kind of a stressful period of time. I think
it's unbelievably stressful, George.
Whether
no,
you're
you
moving
nailed it.
Close or far, it's just so much work.
Right. You asked a few times if we can do a podcast, and I just did not have any time. But before the move, it's the packing, right? That was our, well, once we made the decision to move. So, you know, I was laid off from my job. My wife has been working remotely. So we took the opportunity to move closer to her family. She's, you know, been very far away from her family the whole time we were dating and when we were married. And so, you know, we were close to my family here in Florida. So now we're splitting that and, you know, getting a big change. Now I was born and raised in Florida. So this is the biggest move I've ever done. And I haven't had the winter yet. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But
winter. Good old winter.
Good old winter. George, when you pack your house, you realize you have stuff you didn't even know you had.
That's right. You got to try to purge as much as possible when you're moving. It's a great time to just get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff that you don't need, stuff that you haven't looked at for years, unless there's sentimental value, you really don't need to bring it. And for me, when I hear moving is hard, it's not the moving, it's the packing.
Packing it's for sure hard. The packing. And you mentioned purging. That is hard to do for a lot of people. My wife and I included. Yeah. My wife and I both. Now, I have less sentimentality to a lot of things. You get to a point where you're like packing. You're like, why am I packing this? Guess what? Yeah. I've never used it. I'm going to get rid of it. It everyone gets that to that point. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but you finally get to the point where you're like, I don't want to see this ever again. I'm getting rid of it.
Why do I have a homemade ice cream maker that I've touched once?
It's a great idea, but if you're not using it, you know, give it off to somebody else. So what do you do when you purge? For our listeners, what are good tips of where to purge and what to do with it?
Yeah, so for us, a lot of people like to sell some big ticket items, which is fine. Yeah. I do sell things sometimes when I'm trying to purge, but a lot of times I just don't want the hassle. And so one thing I noticed, the best way to purge is put it on the curb and then just list it online. Whether that be next door. My neighborhood now has a pretty active Facebook group. So I'll put something on the curb, post it, and within like 10 minutes, it's gone.
The title I usually see is Curb Alert when people do that.
Exactly. And so to me, that's the easiest, most pain-free way to get rid of things.
So that works if you've got good traffic. We were in our Florida neighborhood. I would put it out a day early, and there were people that would drive through with pickup trucks the night before garbage day, looking for stuff that they could, you know, resell or repurpose or something. And that was the easiest. I never even had to post, you know, that there's stuff there, because it would just be gone.
Yeah, there's also organizations like Goodwill. And some other charity organizations that will actually come and pick it up from your house. If you're giving them something of good value, they'll make the trip out and come pick it up.
Now, I don't know if you've seen this, but there are a lot of people purging, especially in the last year when they're at home more. And they'll drop enough stuff that they think they can donate that really is garbage. And that has been a big problem. They don't want your garbage. Like, if you can't sell it or you don't think anyone else can use it, don't give it to them, because you have to pay for dumpsters. They have to pay to have their dumpsters picked up. And they're going broke just getting rid of other people's garbage. So don't do that if it's not anything that anybody would want or would buy. But certainly if it's repurposeful. Now, you mentioned selling stuff. I'm huge into, you know, selling stuff if I can. I've tried Facebook Marketplace, OfferUp, Nextdoor. I've had zero good luck with Craigslist. It seems like everybody just ghosts on anything that I list or try to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So I've stayed away from Craigslist. eBay for smaller stuff, I've had great luck. Like, just like random things.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's looking for that. It's
I know.
amazing what people
Yeah.
are looking for.
Yeah, I think as of recent, our biggest success was through Facebook Marketplace.
Okay.
We also like the fact that we can see the person's profile. We see their
yes.
picture.
You know that's a real person.
Exactly. So
for the most part.
To us, maybe it's a false sense of security, but we like going through Facebook Marketplace a little bit more. But I want to go back for a second because you brought up, you know, getting rid of garbage, which when you move, there are a lot of things that you throw out, which is great. And you brought up, you know, how the charities have to pay for dumpster and stuff like that. So
right.
I remember when we were moving, we rented or we purchased a dumpster bag. Have you ever
no,
rented
what's
one
that?
Of these or purchased them?
Now
yeah,
you tell
so
me.
You can, yeah, so you can go to like Home Depot or Lowe's or a hardware store, and it's like this giant green bag that unfolds. You just leave it in your driveway, and it unfolds. It's probably like 15 feet by 10 feet or so. There's a weight capacity to it, but it's essentially a like a nylon bag that's a dumpster. And so you can dump all the stuff in there that you want to get rid of, and then you call waste management, and they come with a truck and a crane, and they remove it from your property. So that's also
wow.
an option. We did it a few times when we were moving.
Wow. Okay. That would have been good to know. So I was thinking, you know, a lot of the stuff that we were purging, I'm like, if we wait until our last pickup, you know, before we leave, it's gonna cover, you know, the whole curb all the way to the neighbors and then
mm-hmm.
going the other way. And they won't pick it up. We had specific limits of how much we could leave by the road, you know, it's a cubic footage limit. So I didn't want to risk having, you know, stuff left there when we had driven away. So I tried to put stuff out every week. So like we knew we weren't going to take the rug. I put that out a few weeks out. We don't need it, you know, for the last couple of weeks we're there. I knew like the kids, you know, bookcase that was broken, you know, I put out by the road, and actually somebody took that. A bunch of stuff I just try to put out as early as I can just to kind of space it out.
Yeah.
If you're friends with your neighbors, you can also ask if you can put some in there in their curb, you know, as long as you're not going crazy with it.
That's right. And if you're willing to, you can always rent a U-Haul or a trailer as well and check with the county. The county will have a dump station.
Yeah.
For me, mine is 40 minutes away, so it's not convenient, but if there's
right.
something big like a mattress that I have to get rid of and they won't pick it up, you can always go there.
Yeah, that's a great point. I forgot about that. So when we had the movers, they were very specific about we will not take any paint or flammable liquids or explosive
nice.
Liquids or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. So I had lots of paint and, you know, spray paint and glue and aerosols that don't really leave those in your garbage, especially gallons of paint. So I had to take that to the dump, and for everything else at the dump, they usually weigh you and charge you based on weight. For the household hazardous materials, that was free, at least in Winter Garden. But they had very specific hours, so you got to check that out first. But yeah, that was a way more eco-friendly way to get rid of those. Please don't put like motor oil and starter fluid and gasoline in your garbage. And as a warning, right before you leave, there will be, no matter how much you think you've purged, there will be a ton of stuff left that you have to get rid of.
For sure.
So we had to do some trips to the dump.
Now you mentioned movers. Was there a reason you chose move? I mean, obviously you want people to move your stuff, but was there a reason you chose movers over like a U-Haul or renting a pod?
Yeah, we had a unique situation because we were moving from Florida to Chicago, but we didn't have a house in Chicago. We wanted to actually look at houses in person, not just online.
Yeah.
And it's way easier to do that in person. So we're fortunate that my wife's family had, you know, two guest rooms and that's where we're staying. So while we're here, we're looking at places. So we had a house full of stuff and U-Haul was out of the question. Like,
yeah,
you know, it wouldn't fit in a U-Haul. We needed a tractor trailer size. So one of our friends was doing a pod, and I think you've done pods before, right? Or, pods is a specific name. There's generic
Pack
versions as
wrap,
well.
hand
Yeah,
pods.
it's basically like a shipping container that they drop off, and you just fill it up as much stuff as you want. And some of them slide it up kind of like a tow truck, flatbed tow truck. They slide up at an angle. All your stuff will shift inside. But there's other ones that pick it up almost like a crane. They pick it up from the top and it keeps it level. Those are nice. But the con for me was that you still have to load it. And we had a two-story house. We had tons of furniture. That would have taken us forever. So I knew I didn't want to do that. Now, any other move I've done in town, we've done U-Haul. I've moved, going to college, moved several times, my first couple of jobs, our first house. We moved a few times. We've always done U-Haul for the big stuff. And then you can do trips in your car, to pick up all the remaining stuff. That's easy.
Now, when we moved, so if you have the luxury, I would definitely recommend this, but when we moved to our current house, we had a move-in date about 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks prior to having to leave the other house.
Yeah.
So we had keys to two houses, and that made it easier where we can
Oh,
just
yeah.
take trips as needed. We did use a pod. So we used a pod for some big items and stuff like that. And then whatever didn't fit in the pod, we also had a U-Haul for that. And so what we did was we had the pod delivered, and then I brought the U-Haul. And my family's just giant. There's so many of us.
Yeah.
So within, I had them all on standby, and we unloaded the pod and the U-Haul within like 20 minutes because there were,
Whoa.
maybe 20 of us.
Yeah.
If you want a good tip, just have a giant family and have them come over and help you unload.
It'll pay off in the long run,
I
trust me.
know. I know. So, but yeah, we did the pod. That's really convenient because you can basically just have it delivered to,
Yeah, it's on your own pace.
exactly.
Right,
And
right, right.
it made it a lot easier for us. So we did that. Now, what were some of the challenges with movers that you had? Because I know,
Right.
everybody wants movers, but there's,
They're expensive. It's very, very expensive. The advantage was they would do it cross country, right? We're going 1,000 miles. And they would pack. So we had to pack our house. There are services where they will pack your house for you, pack the stuff in boxes. That's a lot of money. In hindsight, my wife and I kind of wish that we had gone for that. But honestly, it took us like 2 months to do it. So I don't know how long it would take them to do it. But so we had everything in boxes ready for them, and we had to schedule a day. You asked what's the hardest thing? For sure, it was that. It was very stressful knowing the clock was ticking, this date is coming, and there was just so much stuff to pack and so many boxes. The good thing is all the furniture they wrapped in moving blankets.
Nice.
They have a barcode sticker on every item that they took, and so we know that there are exactly, X number of boxes slash items that they took, and when it comes time to deliver, we know exactly what it is. Now, with movers, I did a lot of research, as you probably know that I always do. There's a lot of moving companies. There's some big companies, the Allieds, the Suttis, the Uniteds, a lot of companies like that, and they're pricey. There's also a lot of smaller companies, but for a cross-country move, I would stay away from the smaller companies. There's a lot of horror stories about them, quoting you a price and then showing up and saying, "Oh, well, this is more than we bargained, pay another $5,000 before we unload your truck." Basically holding your stuff hostage or, damaging your stuff or, they don't have full-time employees. They, hire,
Contractors.
contractors that, maybe their first time with a company or they're not trained. We did. I got a price quote from one kind of no-name company, and everything that the websites said to watch out for, that is a red flag, they did. So if they want to give you a quote without actually seeing your stuff,
That's a
that's
red
really
flag.
hard to judge. Yeah, that's a red flag because they can easily say, "Oh, well, you didn't tell me about this. You didn't tell me about this." So we got price quotes from four movers. They were all really close. They were all
Nice.
really, really close in price.
That's
And
good.
they either saw our house via like a FaceTime call, or I went through every single room, showed them every wall, every item. Or two of them, two of them did that, and two of them came in person and saw every single thing, because they charge by weight. If you're going interstate, they have to pay weight tonnage over the road, and so they gave an estimate for what it was in weight and how much space it would take. We had to add storage because they were picking up and then storing it until we found a house. We looked at having them pick it up and delivering it to a self-storage unit, and we, rent a storage unit. Yes, you save money, but when it's time to deliver to the house, that's a different moving company, or it's different people,
Or you have to do it.
or I have to do it. And if there's any damage, there was too many steps in the middle, and you can't prove that it was any
Who did
company.
what? That's right.
Right. So this, in this way, everything is, they have it every step of the way. So hopefully there's no damage. And if there is, they're accountable for that.
So that was packing and moving your stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I know within state, I mean, I moved in between counties and there were a lot of things that I had to take care of,
Right.
new driver's license, stuff like that. What was it like to move across to a whole different state?
It's still crazy. I'm still getting all that done. But yeah, if you're not used to moving, just know that whenever you change your address, most states say you have to change your address on your driver's license, keep it current within 30 days. They can give you a ticket if you don't do that. It's kind of hard to, manage. Like, you only really can get caught for that if you are pulled over usually. But it makes a lot of things easier. The problem is, to do that, you need to show proof of residency that you live somewhere else before they'll change that. So, here in Illinois, I had to show two forms of residency. But like I said earlier, we don't actually have a house yet. We're staying with my in-laws, so I'm not on the utility bills. So my life hack for that is, if it's going to be a while before you have a house, or even like when you move in, it takes a while to get your first utility bill. What I did is, I had my utilities from the old house. When I told them the last date of service, I also made sure to give each of them my new address for forwarding address, because they'll send you a final bill. And they should send you a check if there's any like deposits that you had put on, or if there's any like overpayments or anything like that. So when you have that, you've got a utility bill with your
That's
new address. So
genius.
that they counted that. They counted that. And also your bank statement counts. So first thing we did was, we were with Bank of America. Their statements are online. I just went in and said, this is our new address. And then,
And turn
the
off
site
paperless.
and turn No, I printed it out. I did the
Oh,
paperless,
okay.
and I still printed it out, and it was still fine. So
Oh, nice.
those are two things you can get right away. And then once you get that, then you get your driver's license. And then for my car to get it registered here, I had to show it a driver's license here, and I had to show the title. So it's a lot easier if you get the title before you leave, because Florida does paperless title or electronic titles. So I had to actually request it and have it mailed. So that adds another week to that. So
So you needed the title to get your driver's license, or
no, I need the title to register the car in the state
oh, I see.
to get a new license plate.
I wonder how that works if you have a loan on your car.
So they can pull that from the loan holder.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah,
So you
yeah.
have an Illinois license already?
I have an Illinois driver's license,
Oh,
and I
man.
will be getting the license plate very soon.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned looking for houses. That, I mean, there's so much there. I have a lot to talk about when it comes to looking for a house.
Okay.
But just off the
And
top of your head,
you've done that a lot more than I have.
But like, obviously with kids versus prior to having kids, the priorities
Right.
change. But like,
Right.
what was the first thing or the most important thing for you when you started looking for a house?
Right. So that's what I would recommend to anybody. Figure out, make a list of the things that you want in your new house, and then rate them. What are the most important things? We had our top three or top five. And schools were a big part of it. Like, we're willing to get a house that may be less desirable, or maybe a less desirable neighborhood, but we wanted to buy where the school district was, where was a good school district. Greatschools.org will show you, it'll break down the schools, and also on Zillow. So if you scroll down on Zillow, It'll show you the ratings of the schools based on greatschools.org. They're not always accurate. It's just an, you know, it's just an algorithm. Usually right above it, it'll say, you know, the listing agent says these are actually the schools, you know, if they have a have the wrong school. So always check that. Don't just go off of what Zillow automatically puts as a school. But it goes on a 1 through 10 rating system, and 10 being the highest. 10 is, I think, pretty much, you know, impossible to find. But we said we wanted our schools to be, you know, a certain level or higher, so we looked for neighborhoods, actually suburbs here, that met that. So that was kind of our, we know these are suburbs we want. This is where we're looking. We want to buy into, you know, that district. What about you? I know schools were important to you and your wife.
So when we bought our first house, the most important thing was convenience. We wanted to
Okay.
be around all these restaurants and shops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember Scott used to love coming to our neighborhood to eat at some of the
Yes.
restaurants out there. I mean, it was amazing.
So is that the so that that's a big thing now with is you'll see on Zillow the walkability score. Yeah, so how much stuff you can kind of find in your area that you can walk to.
You could ride bikes. I mean, everything was right there. Literally
It
anything
was
we
nice.
wanted was it within 5 minutes. However, when we started looking for a home, this was 3 years ago now, and we had kids. We didn't care about that as much as the
Right.
schools. So we always had in our mind back when we lived at the other house that we would put the kids in private school because we weren't always around the best schools.
Yeah.
We actually were lucky. Some of those schools that we were zoned for back over there were pretty good, but there was talk about rezoning. So for here, that was the priority. Finding good schools, finding good public schools. And so where my son is now, it's one of the best schools in the state. It's a public school. And so that really, scratched the need for, we no longer needed to have him go to a
Right.
private school. Because to me, that's one of the most important things. Like, I didn't care about how walkable things were where we live now. Nothing's
Yeah.
walkable. Like, when we first moved here, my wife and I were complaining because Target was 15 minutes away.
What? That's
So
too far.
first world problems, right? So schools was number one, and for me, number two was kind of. It's not really easy to figure it out online, but kind of a sense of community. So what I mean by that is in our old house, we never saw any kids. We got two trick-or-treaters maybe on
Yeah.
Halloween. Like there
Yeah.
was just it was all young couples who didn't really have kids. Maybe, started working on a family. So when we moved here, my wife grew up not too far from here. We knew that this was a good community and we got that kind of neighborhoody feel. So like now we have hundreds of kids in the streets around Halloween. My son has already made lifelong friends within, the first few years here that I mean, these kids love each other. And so to me, that was what
Yeah.
was most important. Like, I don't think it's just a suburb thing. I think there was just a sense of community that everybody looks out for each other, and that's what we really wanted.
And that's a really hard thing to shop for. There's no Zillow friendliness neighborhood score or Halloween awesomeness score. That's really something. We had the same thing in our neighborhood that we loved that as well. And we lucked out. We didn't know about that before we moved in. It just based on the people that are there, like that can change, you know, in 10 years that can be completely different too. So it's not
So
always forever.
I wonder if there's a way to identify that. Like, now looking back, are there any flags that, could tell you, hey, this is a good
Right.
community or something like that? Maybe like if you look at your old neighborhood, you guys used to have block parties, I think, on
Yeah.
4th of July, right?
Right. But that was based on our neighbors that, you know, all decided let's do this. So in
So is
our new
there.
neighborhood, we said, well, maybe we could be the ones that bring that if it doesn't already exist.
That's true. Yeah, you could lead by example. Invite people
So,
over for movie night and stuff like that.
and yeah. So, you know, what are we gonna do like when we finally move in? What's the best way to like introduce yourself to neighbors? Like, you know, I like making cookies or cupcakes, you know. I think bringing people something especially a homemade treat is a good way to introduce yourself. I was trying to remember, our neighbors that really, kind of kicked off the togetherness when they moved in. They really kind of kicked it off. I trying to remember what they did when they moved in, because whatever they did, everybody instantly liked them. They really brought all of us together, because a lot of us had already lived there, but we didn't know each other. And it was just having, some good catalyst. It really clicks and brings people
I have a
together.
tip for that. Yeah. So
Okay.
I have a inflatable screen and a
Yeah.
projector.
Oh,
And
that's a
so if you're
great
a little
idea.
weirded out by having people in your house or inviting people over
Yeah.
that you don't know, doing a movie night in your driveway and inviting the neighbors over is a great way to get to know
That's a
them.
really
Just
good
have like
idea.
some popcorn out and snacks and stuff like that. Bring your own blanket, things like that. I think so.
I love that.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend that, and that can kind of get you off on the right foot. Were there any like other must-haves for you when picking a house?
We definitely wanted room for the kids to have, their own rooms, but also like kind of a play area. At our last house, there was a guest room, but it kind of became the, I call it the landfill. Everything, it was a catch-all for everything. And so the kids really played like in the main living room and dining room, which is awesome because they're there with us, but the toys were everywhere, right? Like they're playing, that's what it is, but it was just kind of clutter as soon as you walk in the door. I didn't love that. So we said for sure we want them to have a space that's their own. We've seen other friends. You had that. We liked it at your old house. That was just a room that the kids can play and do their thing. And then, the kids are getting a little older. They're almost to the, well, soon they'll be the tween age. They're not going to want all these toys. They're going to go away. But now the room can be, repurposed. They can have like a little home theater or a video game set up, or foosball table, or whatever they want, just to have their friends over and it's still kind of their area. That's a luxury. Like I never had that growing up. We
I
were always in the
know.
living room or outside. But to me, it's what I always wanted. So I want to give that to the kids.
Yeah, for sure. I know that when we moved, the house that we're in, it has like a I never understand what's the difference between a family room and a living room, but we have one of each. And so we changed one of those into a playroom where the kids have their toys and stuff like that. And we actually had a play date. And whenever we have a play date, that's where all the kids play. Instead of having them in the kids' rooms and making a mess in the kids' rooms and throughout the house, there and there. But one thing that we also wanted was a big driveway, believe it or not. So we hated having to move the cars around, number one. But number two, we play a lot in the driveway. The kids do a lot of like sidewalk chalk art. They'll ride scooters in the driveway. We put a hockey goal up, and so they'll kick. I'm sorry, not a hockey goal, a soccer net. And so they'll kick balls in the soccer net. My wife will go out there and she just bought golf clubs. And so we'll swing the golf clubs. We don't know anything about golf, but we'll do that in the driveway. And so that was something big for us too. It was like a whole nother extra space to play in.
Definitely cool things to think about, and you knew what you wanted to do, and so you can look for places with that. So definitely make a list, rank that list. Like we had on our list, we really wanted a fireplace, but when it came down to it, that wasn't the most important thing. It's a cool thing, but it wasn't like, well, we're not going to buy this house because it doesn't have a fireplace. Other people, that might be the very most important thing, right? It was a nice to have, but once you figure out what those are, then it can help you narrow down your search.
I know that moving can be stressful, for the adults. How did the kids take it, Scott?
Thank you for asking that. We took a while to decide because it was really in our court. It wasn't like we had to move. It wasn't like a job relocation. So we were back and forth for a while. We had talked about it for years doing it, and the stars aligned. It seemed like it was a perfect time to do this. But it's a big change, and we didn't want to surprise the kids and say, "Hey, next week we're moving." We wanted to give. We know that they need time to adjust to change, just the way they are. But it wasn't like they were deciding it. Like we were going to come across, as a unified front. Like we both want to do this. Nobody's forcing the other person to do this. And it's something that we're excited about, and we empathize with them. Like this is going to have some big changes. And they were pretty upset when we first told them. They were crying. They were mad at us. They were upset about leaving their school. They're upset about saying goodbye to their friends. My son ran over to the wall and hugged the wall and said, "I love this house. I don't want to leave this house."
Well, he was
It's
born
the only
there.
house he's ever known. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
his house. So, you know, we tried to assure them that, you know, we're going to pick a house with a good school. They're going to make new friends, but it's hard to, you know, lose friends. Now, one thing that helped them was that, you know, for the last year with COVID, they've been remotely seeing a lot of their friends over Zoom or FaceTime. And so we assured them, you can still do that. That's still what we can do. And, you know, their best friends have already planned a trip up here to see them. And we're planning to go back, you know, around Christmas time to see our friends. So we said it's not forever goodbye. We're going to still keep in touch, but definitely won't be as close.
So was there a certain, did you do it like far out? Did you
Yeah,
say we have
we
to
did it like
ease them in?
once we decided for sure, and my wife did a lot of research on how to break the news to them. Once we decided for sure that's what we're doing, it was like 3 or 4 months out. We told them after dinner. We said, "Okay, we've got something big to tell you. It's a big change for our family, but we're excited about it." And we told them. And my daughter was very upset. She was mad at us and yelling at us for, you know, making a big change. But they're like us. They don't do well with change initially. But we just had to let them get over it and kind of understand it and accept it. And then as it got closer, they got, we, oh, I think my wife also made a list of things that were positive. So she said, you know, "We're going to find a house with a basement. You've always wanted a basement. We're going to find, you know, you can decorate your rooms the way you want them to be. We're going to be closer to your cousins, your up north cousins. We're going to be closer to, you know, a new city and Chicago stuff." So, you
You're gonna
know,
be able to build snowmen.
that was a big thing for sure. That was a big thing for sure. So they were excited about the new things, understandably sad about, you know, the old things. But as time went on, you know, they accepted it more and more. It gave them plenty of time to adjust to it. And then, you know, we talked about packing and you know, they were planning, you know, what they were going to do in the new house. And it was a great time for purging, back to purging. They got to say, "Okay, I'm done with this. Let's get rid of this. Let's plan room for, you know, what my new room is going to be like." So they eventually came around, and they were still sad when we left. We actually made sure to say goodbye to the house once it was empty, and we vacuumed all the rooms, and it was just completely empty. You know, we went through each room and said goodbye to each room and talked about our memories in each room. So to
That's
make sure they
nice.
had some closure before we, you know, left.
I remember when I was 15, my parents decided to move us from New York to Florida, and that was
Okay.
really difficult for me.
Yeah.
I left everybody I knew. We didn't know
Yeah.
anybody where we were moving to. And I think one of the biggest things that helped was making friends quickly. We made friends almost as soon as we moved here. And so that really helped me, get through some of those difficulties. So we had moved in August, which is, when school starts in Florida. So we were able to start school and make those friends really quickly. So hopefully when the kids start school, that'll ease the
Right.
pain a little bit.
Right. We've actually been going to a bunch of the city parks, in my wife's mom's neighborhood, but also, like, once we finally found our house, there's a park, 2 blocks away, and it's right next door to the elementary school, or it's right, you know, right across the street from the elementary school. So we're planning trips to go there and hopefully, like, meet kids that live in the neighborhood and are going to the school, so they can already have a head start on making friends, you know, their age. That's whether that works or not to be determined, but we're trying to, you know, kind of get them acclimated, you know, to the new kids and hopefully make those lifelong friends. Now, finding the house, we talked about the list of must-haves, but actually finding the house, we were looking on Zillow before we moved, just to kind of get an idea of suburbs and neighborhoods we wanted. But Zillow doesn't tell all the story. I don't know if you have saw this when you were looking for a house. It was 3 years ago, or if it's a new trend. But there's a lot of digital virtual staging. Basically, every house we looked at
Yes.
was digitally staged. And you can't tell if it's really what the house looks like. It's
Yeah.
all been photoshopped
They're
and
getting pretty
doctored.
good. Yeah.
They look amazing. I mean, there's some weird kind of looks to them. You know, they look a little photoshopped, but you can't actually see, is this really what the house looks like? Also, it doesn't tell you, like, if the house smells. It doesn't tell you if it's a weird layout, because not all of them post a floor plan. I like it when they post a floor plan.
Yeah.
You also have to look at, what are they not showing you a picture of? Like, most of them didn't show a picture of the garage. Is that because it's full of crap?
Yeah.
If they don't show a picture of the basement, that probably means it's unfinished. Or in one case, a house we looked at online looked great. We went in person to look at it, and the basement was very scary. There was large foundational cracks on every wall, and that had been patched and plugged. Like, there's a reason why they didn't show this online, because that is scary.
It's funny that you mentioned that because so we've been in this house for 3 years next month, and it was fairly recent that I just went on, I think it was Zillow to look at the pictures, the listing pictures of this house.
Yeah.
It did not look nice. So,
Yeah.
yeah, and I was like, I can't believe what I forgot what it looked like.
Yeah.
And so, when other people's stuff is, scattered throughout the house or,
Oh,
it's not the paint.
they didn't move everything out for the pictures.
No,
It was as is.
no. And it was, so the person who lived here prior to us, he treated the house really, well. He was meticulous about everything. He wasn't cheap. He didn't spare expenses, but everything was like from the 70s. So
Yeah.
wallpaper everywhere, popcorn ceiling everywhere. And so
Yeah.
we had to look past all of that.
Right.
And so in person, it still didn't look that good. But if you see the potential, if it's not like foundational issues like you saw,
Right.
it could be
You
worth
guys
a
have the
shot.
vision. You guys have done a
Yeah.
lot of work on the house, and it looks amazing. You had the vision to see that, and you got a good deal, and
Yep.
you knew what you could make
Yeah.
it.
Now,
I forgot about what it looked like. I need to see those pictures again, because
I'll show you them. They were pretty crazy. Now, I think you mentioned driving by the house. So I would say if you're looking for a house, make sure you drive by it at night because things definitely look different at night. My
Right.
neighborhood, I love it, but we have a lot of wildlife, deers and bears and stuff like that. I did not drive around at night. And if I did, maybe I would have seen how dark it is and stuff like that around here, because we live near a nature preserve. But I would definitely recommend you do that when you're looking for a house.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And drive around, they always say drive around at different times. I would say drive around in a thunderstorm or a rainstorm if you can, see how the
Oh yeah,
water
for Florida.
moves.
Typical Floridian.
We can't drive around in winter. We have to kind of wait to see how
Yeah.
that is. But that definitely is one of my big fears, is how cold is the house going to be? Is it going to be warm enough?
Yeah, the insulation.
George, the next step, which I have not been through yet, is the delivery and the unpacking. Now, I will say, we can schedule the delivering. It's a busy season, so they need a couple of weeks' notice, because they basically have to hire a driver. He'll bring it up, and they have local people here. They have a franchise location here that they have people that will unload the truck for us. But then we're just gonna have a house full of boxes. Do you have any tips? Do you have any memories of, like,
Yeah, have a big family.
What about the kids? Is there stuff that the kids need to know about, or that they can help with, or that you just sent them with the big family to get out of your hair?
No. So the kids were a little young when we moved into this house, so they didn't really help with the unpacking. But I say have a big family because we unpacked a lot of things that first night when I had all
Nice.
the relatives over. If you don't have a big family and you have some friends, offer them some beers and pizza. And so, yeah, like essentially, my wife was in the kitchen saying, okay, this goes here, this
Right.
goes in this cabinet, we want this here. And
Okay.
when you have people helping you, it goes so much faster. So I would say if you can, take a weekend, try to get any friends and family to help you and just knock it out because otherwise you're going to have boxes from, after a year that you didn't unpack. So I think that helped us a lot. We even had furniture. So like my dad was going with some cousins and building my kids' beds and the cribs. And so
Nice.
that helped within the first night. And so
Yeah.
that's a huge help. So if you have any support system, don't be afraid to ask people. A lot of people are willing to help, and we're just afraid to ask. Just ask and say, I'll buy dinner, drinks on me, whatever you have to do. It'll save you a lot of headache in the end.
Nice. Also, I will share when we moved into our Florida house, the garage was, basically, concrete. And I thought, oh, I really want to do those nice epoxy floors with the colorful speckles. I'm like, that is on my project list. I'm going to do that because I always think it looks slick. And then we moved in, and all the stuff in the garage was there. It never got done. There was just too much stuff to move out of the way in order to do that. And I finally started doing it January of this year. But that was before we knew we were going to move. And it took forever because I had to do a quarter of the floor at a time. I had to move everything around.
That's a
So
process.
it's a process. And it's like six steps, too. You got to, etch the concrete and do the primer and blah, 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 blah. So I am saying we are not going to have the movers deliver for a couple of days, maybe even a week after we get the keys, because I want to be able to do all that stuff first. Like if you need to paint, it's way easier when you don't have furniture and boxes there. If you want to like redo floors, like that was the other thing in our house. We had a tile floor. We said, oh, we're going to put wood floors in. Once you're moved in, it makes a mess to get tile out of there. It's full of dust. You got to move everything like to another room or maybe get a pod. And it just never got done. So like anything we want to do now, I'm like, let's do it before we move in. It's way easier. Now you don't always have that option. Sometimes you go from one house to the next house, on the first of the month. You don't have that overlap. But if you can, the overlap is amazing.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do the epoxy as well, and I think if I ever get to it, what I'll have to do is rent a pod and just put
Yeah.
everything in there in the driveway. That
I
might be
think that
the easiest
that's
thing.
the best. And don't do it in the summer. Do it in January. It was so much nicer.
Well, nicer here.
Yeah, that's true.
January, where you're at, you
I'm
might want
still
to
living
do it
that
in the
Florida life.
summer.
I need to change my mindset.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Oh man.
Yeah, I think we spoke a lot about moving. Hopefully, we didn't deter anybody and we gave some good tips. I think overall, moving is exciting. It can be fun. And if you approach it with the right mindset, it can be an incredible experience.
I'm glad you said that because right now it's just been the negative part of it, which is the packing and moving out. That is a chore. It is not fun. But once we started looking at houses in person, and once we put an offer on a house last week and we're looking to close in the month, I think like I shared. Once we got to that step, it's so much more happy, like you said. It's exciting. We're actually dreaming about this is our going to be our new house. What can we do? So now it's the positive part. 100% turned around, moving for the better. Bring it on.
Yeah, now you get to be the explorer. Like before we jumped on the call, you told me I found this new trail. I had no idea. So it's great. You get to explore, you get to eat some new food. Follow the city on Instagram too. That's one thing I learned. Like,
Oh, okay.
if you've lived in a city even for 20 years, if you follow, like for example, Orlando Eats on Instagram, we're always getting inspiration for new places to eat, and that's
That's a
what's
great idea.
exciting. You get to explore a new place. So, Scott, I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, George, you're right. Like, local festivals. We even started following the Facebook for the elementary school just to kind of get an idea of, the PTO life and that
And
kind of
the
stuff.
events,
So, yeah, any kind of events. Yeah, great idea. And you mentioned the trail. That's the Illinois Prairie Path. Check it out. It is really cool. I didn't know it existed. It's all cool.
Nice. All right, Scott. So it's time for your favorite part of the show. I don't know if you're ready for it, the board game minute. Oh, how I've missed that.
It's back. The board game minute is back, and I've got a brand new one for you, George. This one is not complicated. This one is a party game. It's super easy for you to do with the kids. You kind of need a group though. So it is a party game. You can't just do it with three people or two people. You need to have an even number, and you break into two teams, but it's not like most team games where you're separated across the table. This, you actually alternate around the table. So it's red team, blue team, all the way
Okay.
around. And it's called Poetry for Neanderthals.
Nice. I love
That's
the title.
the name of the game. It's the people that did Exploding Kittens, Throw Throw Burrito, a couple games like that. So it's basically kind of like charades. You're trying to get the other person to guess a word that's on your card. But instead of acting it out, or like it's actually more like Taboo, where you give people, word clues and you just can't say specific words. This one, when you're giving people clues, you can only use one syllable words. So if I'm trying to get you to say ham sandwich, you talk like a caveman. It be bread and meat.
This is
Eat
amazing.
with hand.
Can you say the words or no?
I can't say ham sandwich,
Okay.
but you can use words all around it. And so if you use a two-syllable word, the reason you sit alternating is because the person next to you sees your card and they're on the opposite team. And if you say any of the words that are on the card, or if you use a two-syllable word, they say nope. And it actually comes with, I haven't told my family this, it comes with an inflatable caveman stick that
That's
the judge is
amazing.
supposed to hit you and say nope, and they smack you. I have not inflated that. We're leaving that sealed
Yeah,
just because
I
I know
think
my
it'll get
family.
out of hand.
Yeah, but it's hilarious and it's really funny. It was really hard for my wife and I at first.
Yeah.
We had a really hard time. My daughter is a savant at this. She is so amazing at this. She comes up with great synonyms, and she calls us out on. She pays attention to multisyllabic words. And what do you think about the word fire? One or two syllables.
Two.
That's what I thought.
Fire.
Fire. You would think, no, it's fire.
Oh, man.
Fire. That's one syllable. Yeah, they tell you in the rules. If there's questions about it, there's a website you can go to that tells you the syllables.
That is so funny.
But it also says, don't argue about it. It's just a game.
It's like
Which I love that rule.
you're taking it too seriously.
Yes, it literally says that.
Nice.
Really fun. It plays quick. It's good for a group. People can jump in and jump out if, if it's kind of like you're killing time before dinner or something like that,
Yeah.
or you're waiting for people to arrive. You pick it up really quick, but it's really good for kids too, learning about syllables and thinking of other ways to say something or to describe something. One of the
Yes.
strategies it gives you is to, instead of just doing like single words like taboo, to actually like try and say a sentence. It makes it a lot easier for the guessers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but harder
Yeah.
for you, probably.
No, it's not that much harder. You just have to
No.
kind of think about your words, but because if you say, a small word like for instance, little, you want to use all the time, or tiny, you can't. So you have to think of other words like small. But that's not very descriptive.
Yeah.
If you're trying to say like a small, thing, you would say not just
Very.
small. Yeah. Very is two
Is that
syllables.
too
Ah, nope. Nope.
no, very. Very.
Very.
Look it up or
I
just don't
will.
argue with me,
We'll
bro.
put it in the show notes.
So, how long does the game last?
It depends on you. So we usually play it just going around the table once, so everybody gets a turn to give clues. But you can do it so everybody gets two turns and go around. Depends how many people you have. We've played it with 10 people.
Nice.
Once around the table is usually pretty good. And it's pretty cheap. You can find it at Target. You can find it on Amazon. It's pretty popular. It's really, really fun.
Very cool. Is there an age, like a minimum age you would recommend for this, or?
I would say as long as they know about syllables, they learn in kindergarten about syllables.
Okay.
My son is six. He doesn't like it as much, but my daughter is nine. She's really good at it. So I would say probably, first or second grade would be
Yeah.
the around the interest point in
He's
doing
like, I
it.
just started talking properly and now you want me not to?
He gets it. He understands how to play. It's just not his cup of tea.
Nice. That's awesome. Poetry for Neanderthals, and you'll
Yeah.
link it in the description, right,
And we'll
Scott?
link it. Yep.
Awesome.
So George,
Yep.
it is back. It's been 3 month break, but I need you to tell me something good.
I have so much. We got vaccinated back in April. And so since then, we're still careful, but we've gotten back to kind of a sense of normalcy. With that, I've gotten to do what makes me happy most, which is focusing on experiences and travel. So I took a trip in May, a trip that I've been planning for, I think, about 8 years. And
what?
I finally got a chance to go. I went to Utah, and I went to Zion National Park, as well as Bryce Canyon, Sand Dunes, Coral Pink Sand Dunes
That's
State
awesome.
Park, and the Grand Canyon. And it was an incredible experience. I got to go with my brother, with his son, so my nephew, and my cousin and her daughter. My wife and kids wanted to stay home. It was kind of a treacherous hike trip. So if you look up Angel's Landing, Zion, you can look it up on YouTube. You'll see it was kind of a crazy hike, but it was incredible. And so I also got to go to Mexico for the first time with my wife last month. So another incredible experience. And I love doing a daddy-daughter or daddy-son trip. And so I'm going to do my first one with my daughter to New York in August. So that's my tell me something good. I've been able to travel a little bit more. I was nervous about flying, but flying has actually been pretty good. Everybody's wearing masks. Everybody's courteous. The flight attendants don't play that nonsense if somebody
yeah,
has
right.
to act up. Yeah. And it hasn't been too bad.
That's awesome.
It wasn't crowded. Now I think that's changing. But yeah, I'm just happy to get back to it and focus on these experiences. I'm really excited to go to New York. What about you, Scott? Tell me something good.
So, George, I remember you planning this trip and for a long time, and then remember we talked right before you went, but I haven't talked to you since you went on a trip, so we're going to have to talk. We're going to have to talk after this about it because I want to hear all about it. That's awesome. I'm glad you got to do that. Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I can see why that's your tell me something good. You've really been looking forward to that. My tell me something good. Really, George is recording this podcast again. It's been a long time. I mean, the episode aired on April Fool's Day, but we recorded it in March, and it was our wives, so we haven't gotten to do this, and it's nice to not be packing every waking moment of the day, putting stuff in boxes and wrapping it in paper. It's good to be back with you. It's good to be talking with you on our podcast. Mm-hmm. And you know, we were with some friends over the weekend, and the dad was asking me, like, hey, it's been since April since you did a podcast. When's it coming back? He's a salesman. He drives all over the state and he listens to podcasts and audiobooks, and you know, it was really good to hear, like, somebody likes listening to us. Wow, that's awesome. I think we have a dozen listeners now.
I think it's funny how the listeners hold us accountable. They're like,
haven't
great. You made an episode? This started out as a reason for us to hang out, and so we would talk every few weeks and have great conversation. But what's scary is how fast time goes. I was like, hey, Scott, I'm busy this week, and you were moving, and then all of a sudden that turns into like
3 months.
6 months. Yeah, or 4 months, right?
Yeah.
It just flies by, so that's awesome. I'm glad to be doing this with you too, man.
So I thought about this before we recorded, and I forgot to put it in my show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But you just reminded me, we just had our 1 year anniversary.
That's right. Happy anniversary.
Of the show. Our very first episode was the Father's Day episode in 2020. And it's now July and we've been on the air. Well, we've been on your phones for a year.
I know. I can't believe a year passed already. When you told me that, I was like, that's crazy.
We should have done the anniversary episode.
Yeah.
Well, wait to the 5 year. It's going to be a big blowout. We're going to have all the past guests. We'll have the retrospective.
Yeah, there'll be a quiz too. So you want to listen to every episode 3 times before.
And we will air a best of clip show the episode before.
Exactly.
Mark that. We have to do that in 4 years. We have to remember to do that. We make all these proclamations we have no intention of doing.
Yeah. Just like the floor epoxy. We'll get to it.
We'll get
that we have to go through everything and take notes and you know.
You remember the first episode we said no edits. We're just gonna record and do no edits.
Well, you have OCD, so
I don't like any downtime. Plus, you know, we gotta trim it down from a 2-hour podcast to 45 minutes.
That's right. Yep. So Scott, this was a lot of fun, man. I'm really happy.
It's great
for
you. To be back. We're
keep
back
exploring. Keep a list of all those good places up there for when I visit.
Oh, George, you're gonna have to be here for 2 weeks because you and I love we're foodies, right? We love we love awesome food. I mean, 1 week is just pizza places. So I hope you're hungry. You better visit and bring the kids. There's lots of cool stuff to do here.
Yeah, we'll definitely come when it's snowing. We want to see some snow. Awesome. All right. Well, Scott, I think that's it.
That's right? The playroom is open. You guys can come hang out.
All right. So we'll talk to you guys soon. I think we forgot how to end the episode.
I don't remember. Well, we do say thanks for listening. We say make sure to give us some feedback. Rate the show. Write us at cooldadspodcast@gmail.com. But nobody ever does, so it doesn't matter.
Just cut all of this part out.
Maybe. Maybe not.
All right, Scott. Well, it was good talking to you, and we'll be back in about 2 weeks.
We'll see you in another 4 months.
All right. See you.
Peace out.